Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
There are many nations in America, from the literal native nations that survive in this country to the various nationalities and ethnicities, all with their own stories of coming to and thriving in America. But there is also a poverty nation in America. One in six Americans are poor. 50 million people living below the poverty line and potentially in the breadline in the biggest economy in the world. Listen to a voice from Poverty Nation.
My name is Cindy Marble, and I was a warehouse worker. And I was fired because I tried to go in and I tried to help organize. So we all got together. We signed petitions. We came together. And they said, you know what? Y'all causing too much trouble, and they fired the entire temp agency, which was 70 people.
That layoff is what landed Cindy Marvel into poverty. Her story and that of dozens of others comprise a report from the 50 million in poverty, a report that's also a road trip taken by Dr. Cornel West, professor at Princeton University, and Tavis Smiley, co-hosts of Smiley and West from Public Radio International. This August, they went on an 18-city tour to talk to everyday Americans struggling with poverty. We spoke with them last week. Today, PBS airs The Poverty Tour, A Call to Conscience. It's the first of five special episodes showing this week on The Tavis Smiley Show. It's not a report about numbers. It's a story of voices and, as Tavis Smiley himself says, faces. And in those faces,
a lot of pain. We went on this tour, John, because we wanted to try to put a face on these poverty stats, these statistics that keep coming out every day that really start to paint a picture of how bad poverty in America is. But it's one thing to talk about numbers on public radio. It's another thing to actually see the faces and to feel the pain that these folk are enduring. So that what we're pleased to showcase this week is what we felt, what we saw, what we heard when we got on this bus and went across the country to talk to people of all races, colors, and creeds about poverty. The bottom line is that too many Americans are being rendered invisible in their poverty. Too many people who are poor are disposable. It's not been a priority in Washington to eradicate poverty. We just want to add our voices and use the platforms that we are fortunate to have to raise the issue of poverty higher up, John, on the American agenda.
It's Tavis Smiley, of course, co-host of Smiley and West from Public Radio International, and talking about their PBS program on poverty. Cornel West, you and I are both old enough to remember the CBS Report's investigations of poverty in America in quite another time, but the mission there was to show what's going on in our midst. How different is the story you found than, what we've traditionally associated with the experience of poverty?
I think, one, Tavis makes a point, and rightly so, that so many of the new poor happen to be middle-class persons who have experienced downward mobility. And to see people who have been making $100,000 for 10, 15, 20 years and now trying to live on $15,000, that's a different kind of experience. You know, somebody like Henrik Ibsen, the great playwright, of course, had that kind of experience. You see that in his plays. The sense of feeling violated, being able to succeed, and then having to deal with the downward fall. That conjoined with, of course, those people who have been chronically poor on the reservations and on the brown barrios and the black hoods. And we saw our poor white brothers and sisters in West Virginia as well. But it was their humanity, it was their resilience, see, that I think moved both of us in a very powerful way, though, that they were still standing up, they were still fighting, they were ensuring that they were not going to give up. And this is something that's, I think, empowering to each and every one of us.
Well, let's explore that for a moment, Cornel West. What is the principal difference between someone in poverty who has had that slippage, that downward event, versus someone from a group that has experienced persistent, maybe generational poverty?
Yes, parvenu is brand new, whereas people who have been chronically poor, I mean, what was it, Tavis, when we were on the Indian reservation, we talked about the recession. They said, what was recession? Mm-hmm. We've been living a depression for the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. And so they're veterans of the catastrophic as opposed to being newly acquainted with the catastrophic. And so I think it's much more difficult for those who are experiencing downward mobility to really have a strong armor to cope with the catastrophic circumstances that go along with poverty.
Tavis Smiley, are these newly poor more vulnerable, and do they put an air of suspicion into everyone else's success in the idea that people's reversals can come on suddenly and last for a long time, even when you don't expect it.
Let me answer it this way. There was a report that came out some months ago, John, you probably saw, called the Rasmussen Report, as I recall, that found that about half of Americans think that our best days as a nation are behind us. Now, it's hard to imagine how you advance a country when half of the citizenry thinks that the best days of the nation are behind it. And on this poverty tour, to answer your question more expressly, we saw a lot of that, a lot of people who just don't think that the best days of this nation lie in front of us. And that is... that's a psychological war that we have to wage to give people a sense that America is still a great nation. I'm not one that buys into these notions of American exceptionalism. But having said that, there are too many people who don't see the way forward economically. And so you see that bearing true in the poll numbers of the president and the lack of confidence in Congress. Too many Americans who just don't see a focus on the poor. And clearly we need jobs. There's no doubt about that. I hope the president will have courage, conviction, and commitment to fight for this jobs bill and not compromise, capitulate, and cave as he's done too often on other issues. I hope he'll fight for this. But the jobs crisis sort of ebbs and flows in this country. What we've not done, John, is to commit ourselves to a long-term plan to eradicate poverty in this nation. And I think as we see the ranks of the poor continue to swell, and we see these protests, Dr. West has already been to Occupy Wall Street in New York. He did he appeared in Boston over the weekend. He and I both appeared together at Occupy LA. So that you see these kind of protests growing, and I think you're going to see more of that, John, in the coming months and in years if we don't do something to eradicate poverty in this country or get serious about it, at least.
Well, I have to say, I mean, if I was unemployed, particularly newly unemployed, and Brother Smiley and Brother West came by to talk to me for a PBS special, it would cheer me up. But broadly speaking, do you think this demoralization that you speak about is immune from campaign rhetoric? Is there any candidate, even the president of the United States, who can turn this sense that we're on the way down around in any way, Dr. West?
Oh, sure. I think that the desperation can be so deep that even just a language that has some semblance of sincerity and authenticity can generate a deep sense of hope for people. But, of course, you and I know that you have to execute. In the end, it's going to be deed more than word. It's going to be not a speech, but it's going to be a policy that you're able to fight for, a policy you're able to push through. Or, of course, the alternative is just a slow breakdown of the two-party system and the emergence of new voices and new party formations or pre-party formations. We saw this in the 1850s and 60s when the Whigs went under and the Republicans emerged with Abe Lincoln. And we could be in a moment where the two parties themselves are so tied to the oligarchs and big money that we're going to have to look for third forces. I know Tom Friedman and others are talking about third forces. I think maybe even Van Jones. And the American Dream movement is open to this kind of thing. And, of course, you've always had Brother Nader and others concerned about third forces so that we can seriously talk about some of the truths facing this nation.
Stavis Smiley, Dr. Cornel West, let's leave our listeners with this notion here. If the president were to get beyond the bubble and see what you saw in your tour of 18 cities across 9 states to really explore these poverty numbers, do you think, Dr. Cornel West, Barack Obama would find a welcoming face among the new poor, or would it be an angry face?
I think they would be profoundly ambivalent. And I think if you got rid of Tim Geithner and brought in Joseph Stiglitz, they'd say, look like you're going to really do something on the ground. If you declare a war on poverty, then they would give him an ovation. But is he willing to do either? That's a question.
That is the question. Joining us from Los Angeles, Princeton University professor Dr. Cornel West and Tavis Smiley, co-hosts of Smiley and West from Public Radio International. PBS airs A Poverty Tour, A Call to Conscience, the first of 5 specials starting tonight and airing all week on the Tavis Smiley television show. Check your local listings. More of The Takeaway on our Facebook page. On this Columbus Day, we're asking, does it even deserve status as a federal holiday? You can weigh in on that and any conversation we're having on the program. Also see Celeste Headlee live down at Occupy Wall Street protests here in Lower Manhattan. Share what you think at facebook.com/The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.